Brother and sister in the Lord Jesus Christ, through the inworking of God's Holy Spirit, the sons of Korah wrote down the words of this psalm at a time when the city of Jerusalem was facing a great onslaught by the enemy. This, of course, is also a psalm which gave great strength to Martin Luther when he faced the onslaughts of the mighty Pope and the mighty Emperor, and when he, based on this psalm, wrote, "A mighty fortress is our God." Well, currently there in my home congregation in Wainui Umata, quite a few of our members are facing hardship, grieving for some, major surgery for others, loneliness and depression for some, even anxiety for others, and painful relationships for some others. And I don't know the Wellington Reformed Church that well at the moment, but perhaps also here are people who are going through hardship. Hardship that sometimes you can do something about it, and if you can, you must. But at other times, it's a hardship that you cannot change. Well, what does one do like the sons of Korah and like Martin Luther? What does one do when one is facing a great and trying to process great trials? And what if, at least regarding some of these trials, there is nothing much that you and I can do about it? You cannot solve it, and you cannot make it vanish. My dear brother and sister, our text tells you and me to, in our irreversible circumstances, or so to speak, remember the following three words. And they form the three points of our sermon. And they come out of this text. So here are the three words: mountain, river, and God. So firstly, mountain. In verses 2 and 3, we hear the psalmists, the sons of Korah, say, "We will not fear though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, or though the mountains tremble at the sea's swelling." Well, as recently, it's only about 5 weeks ago, and I think afterwards there was another such incident, a 5.3 quake in the Cook Strait happened, and a part of New Zealand, at least, has again felt, seen, and heard the mountains tremble, literally. And can you and I forget that big quake of November 2016, when even the seabed near Kaikoura raised up or rose up, and also the sea swelling to a certain tsunami level? Our Queen's Gate Mall there in Lower Hutt is still being repaired after that great trembling. And certainly, if you and I were not in fear and in shock, which we might have, we were at least awestruck by the mighty powers in God's creation, so powerful that even the earth, the very ground that you and I sometimes refer to as terra firma, which means firm earth, was not firm anymore. My brother and sister, Could it be that for some members here in the Wellington congregation, the mountains are, so to speak, trembling? Our text effectively says, though the mountains tremble or even be moved or slip or fall into the middle of the ocean, we will not fear. So see, despite our apprehension, despite our challenges and shock, we will not fear. To use the Apostle Paul's words in 2 Corinthians 4, we are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. We are perplexed, but not driven to despair. We are persecuted, but we are not forsaken. We are struck down, but we are not destroyed. So someone might ask, but Pastor, how is it possible that someone, yes, even the psalmist can say, I will not fear, though the mountain shake and fall into the middle of the sea? Well, the answer is given in verse 1. You see, you and I will not fear because God is our refuge and strength. God is our refuge, a picture, a place where people can run to for safety and protection. Like, for example, the highest point on a mountain when a tsunami rolls in from the sea and the sirens are going off with their terrible howling noise. A refuge. A high point. So I ask you, my brother and sister, what do people do if they don't have God? What do people do if the tsunami rolls in from the sea and they choose not to run to the higher ground? But God is our refuge and strength. But verse 1 does not stop there. It continues saying, God is a very present help in trouble. A very present help. The Hebrew can also be translated as help in distresses. He is thoroughly proved. In other words, God has a track record of being a help in distress. Now you might ask, but how were the sons of Korah able to say God is a very present help, or as help in distress as he has been thoroughly proved? How were those psalmists then able to say these words? Did they perhaps have a first-hand experience of God's very present help in trouble? Did they have any proof? Well, of course, the sons of Korah knew of God's very present help when God once, with the fiery cloud of his presence, guided Israel up from Egypt all the way through the desert. And then when he cleft the Red Sea for them, but caused their persecutors to drown, when God provided manna for them for 40 years in their desert time, when he caused the walls of Jericho to fall without any battering ram. Indeed, as help in distresses, he is thoroughly proved. God has a proven track record of being a very present help in distress. But here is an amazing thing. The sons of Korah said this wonderful thing about God although they had not seen Jesus Christ, they had not seen Golgotha, they had not seen what God did to save man, that's mankind, from the root of all evil, from sin. So they had not yet seen the expression of God's very present help in trouble. But you and I know the Father's deep love for us. We sang about that before, how deep the Father's love for us. That he even went to that great length of crushing his beloved Son to save you and me, not just from a temporary earthquake and a mountain that shakes, but from eternal catastrophe. My brother and sister, what instrument does our God, what instrument does our refuge use to strengthen you and me in times of great onslaught, calamity, disaster, when the mountains, so to speak, around us and under us quake and some even fall into the middle of the ocean? Yes, how will God strengthen us as a Wellington church family? The answer comes with point two, a river. Verse 4 starts the second section of the psalm saying, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. Now picture ancient Jerusalem in about 700 BC. This city of God is under attack by the enemy. The enemy is all around Jerusalem. They stand with thousands of soldiers, with battering rams, with ladders to scale the Jerusalem's walls to come into the city. But first, they want to hunger out the city. This city is under siege. Soon, they will have no water. They will have no food. Then taking them will be easy. But you know what? That city had a lifeline feeding it. And the enemy was unaware of this lifeline. Because you see, outside the city of Jerusalem, there is a spring, a fountain. And from this fountain, there was a tunnel going under the earth, under the enemy lines, under the walls of the city, into the heart of the city. And in the heart of the city, there is a well. And the people inside the city of God, a people supposed to be thirsty because of the siege, they come and they quench their thirst right there. Now, looking at the size of that tunnel, which can still be seen today, I would not be surprised if some Israelites were able to sneak out at night and go and collect some food. And so the city of God has a lifeline, a river whose streams may glad these people under attack. My brother and sister, you and I also have a river that quenches our thirst in the onslaughts that you and I might be facing, perhaps even at this moment. And what is this river? Well, this river, you know it, it is God's word. A river which you and I read, which we devour. And its streams make glad you and me, a people of God, a little Zion, a little Jerusalem under attack. And of course, it's the same word of God which we read and reflect upon at home or in our private and personal devotions. It's the same word which is proclaimed here in the sanctuary. It is also the word of God contained in our psalm and hymn book, a word which you and I have memorized through years and years of reading and singing, and the melodies that go with these words make it helpful to remember them. It's the word of God which you and I repeat to one another when we have Bible study, or when we simply pop into another's place and hug and comfort one another in times of need. The word, as your and my river, whose streams of Bible verses and passages make glad us, a holy city of God. But my brother and sister, this river with its streams, this spiritual river is the same spiritual river which also the sons of Korah, as God's Old Testament people, had amidst their physical and spiritual onslaughts against their city. Yes, those saints of God were not just strengthened by the stream that came in from the outside into their well, but also by God's holy writ. But look, you and I, being New Testament believers, have seen the fulfillment of this holy writ. Yes, of the holy word of God, we've seen it in the coming of the word. Not written on parchment. It was not written on paper or nowadays on microchip. But it was the word of God who came in the flesh in the form of a human being with body and soul just like us, just without sin. Yes, you and I have seen the living word come, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who came and changed the world, who brought us the good news, and who lived the good news through all his miracles by which he healed the sick and even raised some of their dead. Then followed by his own death and his resurrection, which is a foretaste of your and my resurrection. So you and I have the good news of forgiveness of sins, of being made right with God, of eternal life, as Christ himself said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, even though he dies, he will live. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die." So can you see? He is the living word. Our Lord Jesus Christ is the living word. He is the ultimate river whose streams make glad the city of God. Yes, also you and me, as the gospel feeds, as the gospel nourishes us, and it quenches our thirst. Just as Christ once said, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." John chapter 7. See, my brother and sister, how you and I, filled with the streams of living water, then become also people who pass on the streams of living water to one another as we comfort one another and as we spread the gospel. See how our Lord Jesus Christ is the ultimate expression and living proof of the fact that God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. And I will encourage us all to drink deeply from this life-giving stream. Dear children, I hope you read your Bible. Young people, I hope you make time to read your Bible. This is your living stream that feeds you even in your troubles. God is in the midst of her. She will not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns, says verse 5. Okay, we come at the end then of verse 2 or of point number 2. We had mountain, we had river, we come to God. In case the listener of Psalm 46, the one who has listened closely thus far, in case he or she has forgotten who God is, his deeds, his sovereignty, his almightiness, his power beyond description, the psalmist in verse 8 comes and exhorts. No, he's not exhorting, he is commanding. He says, come, yes, come and see the works of the Lord, the desolations, that means the destructions, the appallments, the horrors he has brought on the earth. There was a time when I liked to skip that part. I wanted to quickly move to the next part, which talks about God is breaking the spear and the bow, and he brings peace. But this part was not given for nothing. So reflect again. Ponder again with me who God is. He is the Almighty One. He is the Sovereign One. He has come and see the destruction which God at times brings about on the earth. Again, you and I think of the earthquakes that New Zealand so often gets. And we think of the recent worldwide floods. We think of the COVID, not epidemic, but pandemic. The Almighty God, without whose active or allowing will, nothing happens in this whole universe. He can make things happen, and indeed has made things happen, that will shake and have shaken many a human being. Destruction, appallment, horror. And even though God is not the God, the author of evil, even though God is not to be blamed, even though God is not answerable to any higher authority, because there is none, and even though God is love, such destructions do not happen outside God's eternal decree. So look at the cyclone devastation there on the Canary Islands in the past months, southwest of Portugal and Spain. Look at the power that was released. The Lord, in Hebrew known as Yahweh, I am who I am, a name which reveals his identity and yet hides his identity at the same time. This great I am, he does all of this. And even the pagan king Nebuchadnezzar was brought to his knees to acknowledge all the peoples of the earth are regarded as nothing. He does as he pleases with the powers of heaven and the peoples of the earth. No one can hold back his hand or say to him, what have you done? See our God's sovereign and powerful action, which you and I mostly cannot explain. For his word says, the things revealed belong to us and our children, but the secret things belong to the Lord our God. But this you and I know, for the Bible says it, that even the greatest disaster ever to have happened, even that disaster came about by his decree. Which disaster am I referring to? I am referring to that disaster when human beings, can you believe it, went so far as to gruesomely murdering the love-giving Son of God. Yes, also this most appalling deed fell within God's decreeing will. But so far regarding the destructions which the sovereign Lord in his will also allows to happen. Our psalm now shows us another side of God's decrees and actions. And that's the side of powerful peacemaker. So good is God at making peace that even people whom you thought could never be reconciled, for example, married couples who had been fighting like cats and dogs, and people who would never lay down their weapons or hold their blade-sharp tongues, suddenly they embrace one another in the greatest peace. And that too is the sovereign Lord's doing, as verse 9 says, he makes wars to cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. My brother and sister, I have seen how the Lord shattered the bow and spear between husband and wife when he crushed the husband's selfishness and pride, and at times the same in the wife when he humbled them and he made them see what they could not see. That they were put together by God, and that they made vows, not vows, oaths before God. God brings peace where human beings thought impossible. My brother and sister, it's up to this point in the psalm, at the end of verse 9, that the psalmist has guided you and me to look with spirit-enlightened human eyes at disasters, at help, and God. Yes, at mountain, at river, and God. But now, at this point, it's as if God says to the psalmist, come on, you have spoken enough. You have highlighted my sovereign power. Now I myself am going to speak. Dear people of Wellington, hear therefore what God himself is now saying to us, also in our challenging circumstances. Verse 10, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Hebrew can also be translated as, cease all your own efforts in trying to change something which you cannot. Yes, surrender to God. My brother and sister, I'm not saying that this should be done in every situation, because there are cases in which you can do something and you would be unfaithful if you do not do something about your situation. But this is about a situation where you and I are stuck and we cannot solve it. And God says, cease all your striving, be still, trust me, know that I am God. So, question. My brother and sister, are you in the middle of a big hardship? Well, God, through our text and his Spirit, exhorts you and me to take time out. Put for once aside your tablet, your laptop, your cell phone. Swap your TV time for devotions so that you can have the life-giving streams of God's Word coming into your heart and mind and feed your soul. If you can, go to a safe and quiet place in nature. And so be still and know that amidst all your troubles, the Lord, the sovereign I am, is still your God. If you did this, then even in, not just in, but right through your challenges, you will experience the truth given in our Psalms refrain. And the refrain is verse 7 and 10. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Amen. Let us come before the Lord our God. Most holy God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, O Lord, we are in awe of who you are. Father, we have just had a tiny glimpse of your size, of your sovereignty, of your almightiness, of your love and your care. And Father, we come before you and bring before you us all, but especially those who find themselves in circumstances where perhaps a loved one has died and cannot be brought back to life by us, where a job has been lost and cannot be retrieved, where a marriage is under strain. And the counselors have tried, the elders have tried, the pastor has tried, but the two can't see eye to eye. And yet our text tells us, you are the one who breaks the bow and shatters the spear. And so, O Lord, we pray for healing. We pray, O Lord, that those in trial will look to you and do what they have to do regarding their situation. But where they can't, help them to experience that you are a God with a proven track record of helping in times of trouble. Oh, Father, forgive us our sins. Even sinful thoughts during the service, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.